Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, so that you may not be found wanting in your entire. That is from James 1, verse 2 to 4. But the song is Sean B with Count It All Joy. And before that, we had Mark Brock with Magnify. Good morning. It is a bright, sunny morning, and we are headed towards spring. I feel good. Do you know why I feel good? Because spring is my month. Welcome to Impact 103, and you are tuned in and listening to God in the Picture with none other than the charming Zibuse El Kunene. Now, to make sure that you are always in touch with us, simply stream us live from www.impactradio.co.za. And if you are not able to stream from the website, make sure to download the Impact Radio app from your favorite app store. And we would love to hear from you every now and then. So drop us a WhatsApp or a voice note on 071-364-0376. What a mouthful. Now, I don't know if you were listening to the Dream Team earlier, where Zinke was just touching on something that's going to be happening in September. So please stay tuned in. I don't know if you also just heard Focus on the Family episode. They were touching about, you know, a household with a sickly child and how to basically navigate that. I would implore you to just tune in tonight at 6:30 p.m., and just listen to the episode and take some notes, because it's very important that as believers, as much as we trust in God, and oftentimes we need to use medicine and use doctors, that the two tend to work together because they are not mutually exclusive. But in what role does our faith play in that? So that's why I implore you to just tune in at 6:30, and then you will take some notes. I know that, it opened my eyes and I was quite empowered. So please remember that, tune in, and let's engage. Dear God, forgive us for those times when we've taken the battle and we've just placed it on our hands and we thought that we could do it with our own strength. Lord, forgive us for those times when we've taken the battle and we fought against people when we should have been fighting against powers and principalities of this world. Lord, forgive us for those times when we've sought revenge and we forgot that revenge belongs to you and revenge is yours, Lord, because you know how to do it best and we are limited in our own human understanding. Father God, forgive us for all those times when we did things in our own understanding, thinking that we know better than you. When we didn't rely on your pay, on your timing, when we didn't rely on our faith to take us through, but we thought that our efforts would get us through the line. Father, we repent. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there was a local artist that's got me moving in the studio. That was Revelation Enterprises featuring the Tswane worship leaders with The Battle Belongs. And the battle belongs to who? Who does the battle belong to? Is it yours? Have you taken and owned it as yours? And so even everything that's happening, you're thinking, yo, my problems. And you're thinking, my challenges. You're thinking, I am depressed. I'm feeling stressed and everything is yours. Just take those things and cast them unto him, because he says, take your cares and cast them on me. Take my yoke, for it is easy. So take his yoke because it is easy, and learn from him. That was We the Kingdom with Jesus Does. That's what Jesus does. We don't know how many things that Jesus does behind the background, things that we are not privy to, and some things that we learn later on that it was actually Jesus' footprint all along. You're listening to Zibuse El Kunene, the ever-charming Zibuse, on God in the Picture on Impact 103. Welcome. It is a beautiful sunny Monday morning. And today's topic is Christian women in politics. And the scripture that underlines that is Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16, that we are the salt of the earth. And as the salt, we must bring flavor into every space that we are in. And my guest is Ayanda Ali, a lady from Soweto, Dobsonville. You should see her smile right now. I am so blessed. How are you, Sisom?
Always good. Even better now that I'm here with you guys. It's such a privilege to spend Monday like this. I know the rest of the week is going to be awesome. I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us. So stay tuned, because then after this, we'll just be unpacking this topic and why specifically Ayanda is here, because it's going to be like one of those conversations that you just don't want to miss. Guys, I wish you can be privy to the conversations that we have online. They're so empowering. But let me not delay any longer. For those of you who may have been waiting. So the topic is Christian women in politics. And the underlying scripture is Matthew 5, verse 13 to 16. The guest is none other than Ayanda Ali. I feel like I've known you for so long, and yet we've just met in person.
And we've had a whole entire conversation already. So it feels like the interview has already wrapped.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that we've already gone through. Thank you so much for making me feel comfortable, seen and heard and validated. I think it's what is helping us to flow. And also, we're brother and sister in Christ. We have the same blood flowing through our veins. So no wonder you're like, she's so familiar.
Exactly. She's you so took familiar. The words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. We share a dad.
You know, we are siblings.
Hey.
And that's the beauty of it. But getting into the topic, Christian women in politics, and before we even get to the Christian women in politics, just briefly, who is Ayanda and how did you get into this thing of being such a devout Christian?
Yo, Mauti, briefly, that's a tricky part. Tricky part of it. So, born and raised in Dobsonville in Soweto, I always share the story of how I straddled between the township and your suburban areas because I went to school in a former Model C school. And I was always caught by, you know, the dichotomy, you know, that you live in. Mm. Whereas, you know, you're in a township that's hustle and bustle and moving, and it's got its advantages and disadvantages. It's got societal ills, but it also has the warmth of community. Mm. And then you go to suburbia and leafy streets and gardens and plenty, and it's lush. And the people are very independent there and isolated and the like. And so as a child, you have to sort of make sense of this world that you're caught between. Father is a taxi operator, so there's that aspect as well, industrious. You know, you have this industry that came out from nothing where people own it, but at the same time, the flip side of the coin is that it's not regulated and the like. My mom was a former nurse. Her second name is Florence, so we always called her Florence Nightingale. So there's that element of service, of loving. So all of that, you know, created the Ayanda that you see today. You know, the book of Acts, the Lord says that every single person was created in the time and the place that they were so that they could seek God, you know, so that you can understand what the assignment on your life is. And I feel like all of those influences made this Ayanda that's got a strong sense of purpose, strong sense of justice, is a feeler. I feel a lot, which is a good and a bad thing.
Yeah.
But I'm able to articulate, I think, some of the pain and the hurt that people go through and some of the issues that we see in this life. And because of that, I'm able to advocate for people's freedom in different fronts. So so even as a child, I mean, you don't have the vocabulary, you don't have the understanding, but you have this unsettled, holy discontent, you know, that's in you that says there must be more. So in high school, I get born again in matric. In the matric year, I got born again. I got invited by a friend to go to a home cell. And I went to the home cell and I was like, what is this? You know, I was like, this is amazing. And I had gone to church for a while, but I really never really had an encounter with God. And I think many seeds were then sown. And that was one of the seeds. I went to Grace Bible Church and, you know, Bishop Musasona, he'll make sure that the word lands.
Oh, yes, it does.
Lands.
Yeah.
Also, you know, and then that's where the seed was nurtured. And, you know, in my own room as a child, you know, as a teenager, God really speaking to you about purpose, about where you need to go and what you need to do. So I left my rebellion because, you know, as a teenager who didn't know the Lord, there was a lot of rebellion that was there. But when I came to know the Lord, it was channeled correctly. So that zeal, that passion, that energy was then channeled into the Word. And I consumed it at every possible avenue. I went to a fellow Christian radio station, Rainbow FM. Mm. I became a news anchor there. I became a journalist. Various platforms that God had given me the grace to occupy. I became a development practitioner. Went back to the township in Soweto to give of the little I received from the Lord. I was like, I'm going to share that with you, you know. And then went on to government communication. And all along, you know, the Lord was working out what was in me. He foreknew, that he predestined, you know, now he had called and now he was extracting what he had deposited in me. Went to government comms, and from government communication, I knew that there was so much more that can be done. But in my previous roles, I'd always spoken on behalf of.
Oh.
So as a journalist, you speak on behalf of the people, and that's very important. You inquire, you knock on doors, you get answers. As a government communicator, you speak on behalf of government. Mm. I spoke on behalf of a minister. So you relay, you know, the government positions and policies and strategies. And in politics, I found an avenue where I could freely and completely advocate for the things that I believe God had placed in my heart. I became a mouthpiece for him and the restoration he wanted to see for his people.
Mm.
I became a mouthpiece for those very people who were saying, we want to see change, not just in a community level like we would do in community development, and not just as a journalist where you hold people to account, but for you to create legislation on our behalf, for you to intervene and dismantle powers and principalities on our behalf. So that mandate was huge. And that's where I find myself now. So I'm able to share, you know, unhindered, unencumbered, without the responsibility of saying, the minister wouldn't say this, so let me not say that. And without the responsibility of saying, I'm supposed to be objective, I'm a journalist. So now I'm able to be that channel that flows freely and communicates what I feel is dropped into my spirit and what I see and what I experience. And that's what led me to politics. That's what I didn't see it. I must be honest. I didn't see it starting out that it would reach this point. It's like a tapestry, right? You only see the picture in front, but when you flip that mat over, you see the loose ends and unfinished mat, and you're like, this doesn't make sense. But when you flip it the right side out, you see the picture that God was painting. So as a kid, as a teenager, starting out as a young professional, as a communicator, journalist, all those things, I didn't see where the journey was going. But now I stand and I look back and I say, all things work together for the good.
The importance of being grounded in God and being rooted in the Word. Yo, guys, I know. I think this segment on its own just needs like 2 hours. But for now, we will pause and come back and unpack on other things that you've just touched on. You've just touched on so much.
Impact 103. Let hope come alive.
Welcome to Impact 103 with Zibusa Elgunene on God in the Picture. And my guest today is Ayanda Ali, a woman, I'm going to be specific with this and intentional, a woman in politics, and already not even 3 months in politics and she's making waves. But what we want to touch on, something that you said earlier, was that God put you there to bring down powers and principalities. You're a Christian. You're a woman in politics. How has that been received in the political space?
So I think There have been many women who have done incredible things in the political space and have broken ground for us and have been able to stand and have, you know, done the hard work for us in terms of making sure that we're represented. Our parliament, for example, is hailed and celebrated for its over 50% representation of women. Mm. We've had deputy presidents as women in South Africa. We have public protector, you know, both. In fact, three now mm. who are women. So there's a lot of ground that's been covered, and all of that is very good in getting us in the room. The question is, what do we do when we're now in the room?
Yes.
When we're seated at the table, what do we do with what we've been given? And I think more than just having the title or the position is understanding the purpose. So when you speak about powers and principalities and territorial spirits in a place there and how God sends you to dismantle those, we have to be clear about what God has called you to do and which of these he's called you to destroy. Is it corruption? Is it gender-based violence and femicide? Is it to bring economic prosperity and remove the heavy burden of poverty upon people's shoulders? Mm. What have you been armed with and what have you been tasked with? And there's a clear mandate that all of us, I believe, are given when you enter the political sphere. So if you look in the Bible, for example, and a lot of people will say Christianity and politics don't mix. Mm. The entire Bible is much ado about government. I mean, we're told that we will be given a son, for unto us a son is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder. And it could speak about the heavenly realm government, but we know that even that government is higher than the physical one that we see. But there are rules and systems that govern everything. There's a government that governs over the law of nature. There's a government that governs the spiritual realm and territories. And every area that you're in, South Africa, you can even go down to the Gauteng or even go down and say Johannesburg, all of those have got powers and principalities that are there. And as a woman, if you look in scripture as a blueprint, you'll find your obvious women, Deborah, who was a wife, a prophet, and a judge.
Yes.
You'll find your obvious woman, your Esther, who was, you know, the wife of what we would know the head of state. She would be a first lady, you know, in today's days. You'll find your Josephs, Joseph, who was second in command only to Pharaoh. You'll find your David, your Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You'll find your Davids of this world and Solomons and the kings, etc. You'll find even in the New Testament that the first followers of Christ looked to him for a political situation, a political solution of how you're going to free us from the Romans. So government and politics and their relationship with spiritual matters and Christianity are very much intertwined. Then you say, what is my role as a woman?
Yes.
And where do I fit in all of this?
Mm.
And you then say, what is my assignment? I look to the less obvious
especially, ones. Sorry to interject, especially because a lot of societies today still look at the role of the woman as barefoot, pregnant
in the kitchen.
So, yes.
And there is honor in that if that is your call, because the Lord might help you raise the next generation of leaders and what have you. But it should not be a limitation, right? It should be a call if that is where you're going to go. It should not be confinement because, you know, you're a woman. But for me, when I look at the less obvious examples of where God was able to pull down principalities, I look at the life of your Jael, for example, who in the story where Deborah and Barak were in conflict and there was a war going on, and one of the key opposition leaders, you know, who was escaping the sword of Barak and ran down, found a woman who was just at her tent chilling, minding her own business.
Yeah,
she stood there and she saw this man arrive. And when he came, and she said, she knew in herself, this is one of the opposition people that we're fighting who are terrorizing my people. And I'm going to find a strategy of how to bring that person down. She allows him to come into the tent. He says, I'm thirsty. Can I have some water? He says, I'll go over and above that and give you milk. Then he says, no, you know, I'm sleepy. I'm tired. She says, no, lie down. Have a rest. She is the one who finishes off what Deborah and Barak had started. A woman just outside a tent, chilling, minding her own business, drives a peg on the temple of this enemy and finishes it off. Now, that says to me, you could be in your community, and where you are, you see that there's an issue with nyaube, or where you are, you see that there's an issue with crime. You see that there's an issue of teenage pregnancy. You see that there's an issue of poverty. Whatever it is, you might just be the one who's chilling, minding her own business, but is aware of the situation. Yours is the one that requires you to stand up. You could be the next counselor. You could be the next mayor. You could be the next president. Just because you've seen a problem and you're able to finish it, you might not think, "Ukuthi, I'm able to because I'm not in this, you know, governing party, or I'm not in the structures or systems." But Jael was not in the system. She was not even a judge. She was not even an army official. She was just a woman minding her own business. We then move over to the woman at the well, the Samaritan, who the Bible tells us had quite a history. Five husbands and counting. Meets up with Jesus at the well. We know she was politically inclined, because she first looks at him and says, "You are a Jew. You ask me, a Samaritan, to pour you water." That speaks about issues that we can look at today as your xenophobic clashes, etc. She's very aware. She's very aware of what's happening in the times. She even responds to Jesus and say, "You Jews say that we're going to worship on a particular mountain. However, this is what we understand." To which Jesus replies that there will be neither one of the two, because the time is coming and has yet come when true worshipers will worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. She was in conversation, debating with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and held her own. Just a woman with a past who's dodgy, who's not even associating with other women because she had a reputation. But in her was the seed that would catalyze the entire community and bring about the change that entire area needed. And so when she encountered Christ, she then radically transformed the entire community, not in a political position.
Yes.
Not even in a leadership structure in her community. She was the pariah, in fact. Yeah. But yet God used her to bring so many people to salvation, to restore the entire community. It says the city was born in a day. The people came and said, "Jesus, tell us more about who you are." Just a woman with a dodgy past, breaking protocol and stereotypes. I mean, we can go on and on. The woman with the issue of blood, defying the systems of the day that said you are dirty, you are filthy, you are not to be in contact with people. She knew that this sin that she was doing was punishable by death. If she was found in that crowd, and if that which she had in her heart didn't happen, imagine if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and nothing happened, and then she was stoned to death because she was doing something that was contrary to the religious rules of the society that she was in. And yet she does all of this with that faith of saying, "I know ngizojikizinto, I will turn things around." It worked for her, but she was willing to take the risk and break protocol and stereotypes. So you have these ordinary women, just like me.
Yeah.
Ordinary women. I mean, I'm new to politics.
Yeah.
All I did was see a situation that was unfathomable in my community, in my society. And I dared to be like Jael, to say, "This thing will end with me. I will drive a peg in the head of the enemy and end corruption." It was like the woman with the issue of blood, where I say, "Lord, I know this is not how you go into politics. Usually you must join structures and do this and do that." But like the woman with the issue of blood, I said, "I'm going to break protocol and I will dare to go in there. Ngizobona phambili what will happen." And just like also the woman at the well, I have a checkered past. I have things that I think are not good about where I'm from and what has happened to me and what I've done. But I dared to engage the Father and say, "Dad, can we find solutions to what we're seeing in the society?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "I will take what you've given me and give to my community." So that's how you break the powers and the principalities. And these are the things that you get just by being who God has called you to be. And that goes over and above the prayer and the fasting, which you must do and is absolutely important. But you then take that which you've been given in your secret place and you dare to be like Jael. You dare to be like the woman with the issue of blood. You dare to then be like the Samaritan woman and say, "I'm going to go out then and be the change that God has made me to be and put out what he has helped me to consume in our quiet spaces."
And the church shall say amen. Glory.
Glory to Glory by Anna Golden. And that's what God does for you when you just trust Him, when you trust in Him. He just takes you from one step to another. And Khunzi says, hi guys, awesome show. Ayanda, you're a full woman. May God bless you in your calling to politics.
Oh, thank you so much, Khunzi. Bless you too. I receive that. Thank you.
Ah, that is beautiful. Now, and I'd like us to wrap up this conversation, even though there's like so much to unpack. But because of time, there's a woman out there, she's Christian. She feels she's not qualified. She doesn't have the skills. She doesn't have the lingo, you know. How can she get into politics and still be influential and retain and be the salt of the earth?
I think the fact that you are not a politician is what makes you the best kind of politician.
Oh, yes.
I entered this phase as well, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not the typical politician. I don't have the lingo. I'm not bothered about what Karl Marx has to say. And the theme, you know, they'll tell you what's the theory you must have. I'm like, I'm not. I just want to get the job done.
Yeah.
Right. I'm not your typical politician. And that's exactly what you need to make a difference. As the saying goes, if you do the exact same thing again and again and expect different results, then you need to maybe get your head checked. Because if you're going to do the thing again and again, there are certain things you have to change for you to be able to see those results. Mm. And you need politics unusual. Oh, yes. You need the housewife that's concerned about the streets lights. Mm. Because abantwana, they're out playing in the dark. And you need that housewife to say, I'm going to put together a petition so that the street lights work and our children are safe. Mm. You need the stay-at-home mom who is saying, I'm concerned about what the children are eating because I feel like this food is not nutritious and maybe there's something that's contaminated, it to get up and do something, because you're the one who's seen it and you're the one who must then make a difference and you're the one who must stand up. And my desire is to see women, you know, whether in corporate or in ministry or in school or wherever they may be in society, realize that they are the difference that God is going to use to bring about a change in this country. They are the people that God has called to impact and influence this community. They are the Elijahs that God is going to call to say, you know, you sent to your servant, go and see if there's rain coming. And the servant goes and again and again, yes, and again, which I think is a contradiction to what I said earlier. But at that time, Elijah is already prepping, and that's the difference that he does. You know, he goes in a prayer position. He sends the person until there is a sign that here is rain. There is a cloud the size of a man's hand. There is change. So I really beseech women who see the societal issues, who know what's going on in the community around them, to get up and begin to make a difference. It could be an NGO. It could be something that's even informal, a prayer group that you come together and you pray. It could be any assignment that God has given you and placed in your heart. It could be politics itself, which I encourage you to. There's 2026 elections around the corner. Mm. Pray about it. Seek the face of the Lord. Ask, Lord, do you want me to play a role in these elections? And if so, how am I going to be a candidate? Will I support a candidate? Sure. Will I fund a campaign? What will I do to make sure that the word of God is spread far and wide, that the will of God is brought about and done here on earth as it is in heaven? What will I do to make sure that there's a difference in the society? And I know, and I just, if you give me permission, I'd love to pray for any of the women who are here. If there's a woman who is listening, if there is a partner or a husband or someone who knows of a woman who would be phenomenal in the political arena who you feel is called, I would encourage you to just inspire them to also be part of this move. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you've called us, Lord, to be salt and light, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. We thank you, Father, that you've called us to lead in various aspects, in different areas, Father God. You've called us to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Father, you've blessed us coming in, blessed us going out. You've blessed the fruit of our labor and the work of our hands. And so I ask, mighty God, that if there is a woman, Lord Jesus, listening to the sound of my voice, who you have called into politics,
Almighty God, may they be a stirring in their hearts and in their souls. May you give them a word in season. May you give them a clear mandate, Father Lord God, of who, where, and how, Father Lord Jesus, you want them to operate, Father Lord Jesus. I pray for open doors and open heavens. I pray for your angels of high ranking to encamp around them and protect them from harm. I pray, Father, that you give them visions, Lord Jesus, of how you want them to execute your call on their lives and the mandate that you have for them. I pray your Holy Spirit envelop them and cover them, Father Lord God, and bring them, Father Lord God, into the positions that you have created for them to occupy. Daddy, I know that there are many more of us women, Lord Jesus, who you have called, Father Lord God, in this political arena to be the change, Father Lord, that this nation needs. So I pray, Father Lord God, that you would tap into them and unleash that greatness that lies within. Cause them to lean on you, Father. Cause them to have, Lord Jesus, the support system that they need to take a stand. Daddy, may you begin to speak to them. Speak to them, Father Lord God, I pray. And Lord Jesus, may you unleash your armies, Lord Jesus, of warrior women who do great works, Father Lord Jesus, in this here country. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ayanda, for that prayer. This was God in the Picture with Zibusa L. Guneno on Impact 103. And our guest, Ayanda, thank you for your time. Hope that you'll honor the invitation if we invite you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you.